Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You'll take the roll, please.
Okay. Tony Alavado.
I'm here.
Elizabeth Busick, here. Colette.
I'm here.
It's here, okay. Meredith.
Present.
Rock is absent. Elaine.
On the way.
Ken, absent. Sherry, absent. Victor, not here yet. I think showing up. John.
Here.
Tony Rudella.
Ooh.
A.
Yes.
A. And Mary Ann.
I'm here.
Hey.
We have
to concern ourselves with a quorum. Okay, yes. Okay. I don't see anyone from the public.
So, he's from the public. He's coming back.
Yeah, I ran into the hallway. I think.
Okay.
Yeah. He's been here.
Okay. Today's presentation is on the future vision of the AAA, an overview of the CDA interview process. So I've asked Claudia by and give us an impression of what she went through.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So just wanted to share, thank you, John, for inviting me. I know CDA has been quite busy. They have hired a consultant to conduct, in a sense, a AAA area agency on the 2030, the California 2030. So in preparation, of course, of the future, right? The future of the aging population, programming, funding, and really looking at the readiness and the status of the AAAs. I was reached out by Collaborative Consulting, their contracted vendor. They have been doing and still currently doing assessments throughout across the state, not only of the AAAs and their leadership, but also staff that are doing the services, programming, planning, whether they are at manager's levels or supportive staff, the boots on the ground staff, whether we provide a direct service, manage those programs internally, or whether we contract them out. So they have been quite active back in April at the very beginning when they began their assessment. I was invited to conduct an interview as well as some of our staff. 8 of our staff were interviewed by them as well. The interview was an hour. It really focused on kind of the insights from a leadership perspective here at the AAA in our county, what we see as some of the areas for opportunities, some of the challenges, relationships in terms of the collaboration we have at the state level, in terms of even when they start planning for funding and programming, sharing some of those memos prior to like implementation of programs or requests. I know CDA too, when they receive their funding, a lot of times they're pressed for time and trying to get programs out, trying to spend the funds and not always maybe have all the ducks in a row, right? So there's constant back and forth and clarification on, can we do this? Is this allowable? What are the terms? What does this mean for us? So the interview really focused around opportunities to collaborate, a lot of focus on collaboration at the state, collaboration with other AAAs, partnerships, and what kind of community-based organizations, good stewards and partners of programs that come, funding, about the funding streams, what does that mean? What is that? Because often some of those challenges also come with one-time only type of fundings for program and not always are sustainable to go past that, funding term. And so really looking at that, it was a good hour, a little over an hour of an interview. The managers did their interview separately from my interview. And they were, I'm sure, also asked similar, but then of course, from the focus and the lens of the ones actually managing these programs. Holly, I don't think you had the chance because you have another meeting.
I was at a SCEF meeting.
Yeah.
And the interviews happened on the exact same day as a SCEF.
Yeah,
that's right. It was a general meeting and I could not listen. It was
to participate.
We have 7 other managers, so they all participated. So I didn't get my 2 cents worth in.
Collaborative Consulting is scheduled to provide their assessment, that readiness assessment, the kind of future and insights that they've learned that they're sharing with the state level and across, you know, the state's AAAs. Throughout the state, of course, one of the reasons why we look at this is because not all AAAs are governed the same, right? They all look differently. From up north, they might be smaller, where they provide service to multiple counties. And then we have on the southern region, which most of us, including our neighbors, LA, San Gino, San Diego, they're all governed by county entities. So they all look very different across and how we plan for programs and what kind of programs we, and even the needs of the community, right?
They're really trying to make that uniform and it didn't work.
They're trying to look for opportunities that they can try to make things a little bit more uniform. And that's some of the challenge when program memos get written at the state level. And they come down to us because what works up north doesn't work down here and vice versa. So trying to really look at where are we, but really most importantly, what is the age of the AAAs in terms of what that's going to look like in the next 10, 20 years as our population increases, the types of programs, types of services. So it's actually quite interesting that we're going through this process at the state level and they're looking at assessing up where we are and some of those insights to learn. And also locally for us going through our NPA and our needs assessment so that we can really look at where are we here, but then also how we compare to the rest of the state and the rest of the AAAs and kind of where we are and give us some insight of where we need to be in plan for in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So it was, I was very glad that we were able to. We had a very good response from our staff as well that participated and provided their input and participated in the interview. July 24th, coming up next week, there is going to be an update. Collaborative Consulting is providing an update on the California 2030 insights. They're not completed yet. They're scheduled to complete this assessment and report their findings at the end of the year, is my understanding. So I'm hoping they're still on target for that. But I will be hoping I can get that on my calendar so I can kind of hear, gauge what insights they're learning thus far and where they are. Anything that we can definitely share, we'll make sure that, you know, myself and or we'll get Pauline to share with the group anything that we should learn from it.
You can get the slides.
Well, and to see, you know, let me follow up if that, it's at 9 a.m. It's a webinar. It's a web, you know, virtual. Let me see if that is available to the public. I know they come internally to us, right, with CDA, but let me confirm if that is available. That's something we can share. And if you have some time in your tight schedules to kind of hear about it and where we are, just gives you a nice insight of at the statewide level, some of the issues that are happening and some of the insights being learned.
I'm not sure if it is. I have it on my calendar. It's not.
And the Healthy Your Homes webinar for stakeholder feedback is either this Wednesday or Thursday. That's a program that's coming to Orange County in affordable housing. So if anyone wants to log on to that one.
Can you send me the details?
But yeah, no, I just wanted to bring that, you know, to share with you and kind of some of the things that the behind the scenes, things that we participate. You know, sometimes you wonder, like, what's happening at the AAA? But a lot of engagement. I know since, you know, me coming here, I really want to, one of my goals is to try to stay engaged at the state level, participate where all possible, stay up to date on what is happening, things that are coming down the pipeline. But most importantly, what can we do now to set us in a place where we can start planning, not just immediate planning for what funding and what we have to do today, but what do we really need to plan for in the future? Because a lot of it is going to also, a lot of what's happening there is going to affect our internal, like our infrastructure and making sure that we have the workforce, the right skill sets, you know, in what direction we need to go. So
are you going to invite Susan DeMoris like the other AAAs have, or have you already to come and visit our programs?
She's been in touch. I know she's been quite busy. She knows I'm here. So I know
I'm competitive. So I see her on LinkedIn.
Yes. No, she is making her rounds. And we'll definitely be making sure that we connect. I connected with her at the conference in May.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that, hey, you know, when we get a chance, we get on the calendar. So we'll make sure that.
I think that we should raise our profile too, as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we'll surely get there. I know it's not going to happen overnight, but that's something one step for us to continue to work on. Yeah, so that we can have our presence there. Because Orange County has, we have our needs, right? Mm-hmm. Might look a little different from our neighbors, but we do have our older adult population.
And we're perceived, I think we're perceived still from the state level, not as we are anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's changing. The perception is changing.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely. You can tell. And this year, I think it's, since Claudia and I kind of came on at the same mm-hmm. time, and it's been very, very interesting. It's a unique opportunity for us at the county to have really good, valuable input on all of these surveys that are going on at all different levels between CA 2030, between the, you know, ACL, the MPA. I mean, by the time we're done at the end of this year, we should really have a good overall assessment of what the needs are, where the gaps are, and where we can, you know.
But, you know, to your point, Meredith, you are correct in that it does, and it does take an effort and the time and setting aside to be there at the table, you know, to hear, just have a presence, to be able to provide input where need be. And of course, CDA is always looking at, you know, ask for volunteers to participate in some of their like work groups and like their versions of ad hoc committees and whatnot to be able to do that. And where we can have that opportunity, we'll definitely get there. That is one of the goals that, you know, we have to also engage our county leadership as well in that, seeing the importance of staying at the table and being
invited. I know that it's happening, so thank
and receiving the invites to be at the table, right? For us to represent Orange County and represent it well and advocate for the needs of our residents here. So that's really important.
Do we think that any of the $18 million that CDA just got funded for behavioral health will be able to make it our way? Are they talking about that?
No, not here. Not here at the AAA of the Office on Aging. That would be definitely something to consider. And to be honest, we have not followed up with behavioral health to see if that is.
Well, they said that it's going to be grant funds through CDA, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not from CDA, but Meredith is referring to is programming opportunities that are the jurisdictions of behavioral health. However, the grants are coming from CDA, which is that some a shift also at the state level where traditionally in history, all of that funding would kind of trickle down to the AAAs. But understandably, the AAAs are not the jurisdictions of all, you know, services aging, right, for older adults, where you focus on public health and we focus on behavioral health. And so there's a lot of granting opportunity that has come down the pipeline from CDA to other jurisdictions. And in this case, that was some program specific to behavioral health. And then there's also been, for example, the Healthy Brain initiatives that's really focused on Alzheimer's and dementia, education, caregiving, that's more focused towards the public health jurisdictions. Our public health, I can confirm with you, because that was part of their planning committee, they did apply and they did receive grant for the Healthy Brain initiative on the public health side of the house. So I'm sure as they start to talk about planning and opportunities for Office on Aging for us to also collaborate with that program, we will be sure to also look at opportunities to be at that table. So I'm sure more to come. And of course, you know, I want to extend, I know Colleen does an excellent job and all the feedback that I hear, and she brings information forth in this sphere as a liaison representing our Office on Aging. But any opportunities that I can come and provide a more direct, like what's happening, some of the behind the scenes things that we're engaged in, I definitely would like to do that from time to time so that I can give you that update and talk a little bit about some of the opportunities where we can continue to engage.
I'll let you know what our interviews that are 11. So I'll let you know, but they're going to take on an entirely different, we don't manage programs. I think they're more interesting as a stakeholder, what are
as an advisory. Yeah. So yeah, for you, you know, at the lens of the community constituents, from your perspective, what does that mean? How do you see your office of agents, your AAAs, you know, what you're hearing and how you're engaging? So
we have members who are former directors of the AAA. We've got people that are currently involved in the AAA program. So they're going to bring some unique insights from both a CSL and a AAA standpoint.
Yes.
And you know, Claudia, I think the other thing I have to be careful of is, you know, presentation, for example, on Friday, the inclination on my part was to get a hold of our counterpart within CDA and say, hey, we just saw a great presentation. Just an FYI, you need to be aware of that. I'm not so sure that should be coming from me. So I'll be happy to do that. But you folks think about that.
Yeah,
I think that's
yeah.
more appropriate yeah. that it came from you. But,
correct.
You know, I have a tendency sometimes to send information out. So I better be careful about that. So you may want to control the message rather than me.
You know, feel free. When if you're not sure on, hey, should I be sending, please, mm-hmm. like, tap into, let myself and or Colleen yeah. know if that's something, because we may already be in communications. Yes, we have notified CDA of our status and our goal as we're beginning and going through our local older needs assessment for development of the master plan for aging. And so we will keep them updated as well of where we are. Office on Aging is one of the agencies in the county working as part of the planning committee and steering committee. So, of course, you know, we bring information forth from the lens of our older adults on the aging side and all the collaborative work we do with the state, with, you know, California Department of Aging. So we bring that lens to the planning group because it does involve other agencies, our healthcare agency, social service agency, our CEO, our board supervisor's office, and keeping them engaged. So it is a group collaborative county effort to get the MPA going. So things to consider and how we communicate, we'll definitely be sharing that. So there are some tasks, of course, that lean on our subject matter expertise for us to do. And of course, our part of that, Pauline, is very heavily involved with that. If I get tied up with anything else, so she makes sure that we follow up on our tasks to do and our portion to be at the table and work part of our efforts here.
I have to kind of take a little exception to what John was talking about. I am very interested in programs. I appreciate the strategic perspective. Come from Santa Ana and Orange and representing the district, which includes Orange, which are huge growth. Programs mean a lot. And how are you serving them? Are you communicating them? Are you reaching out to them? What is their perspective? Because the perception out there is that they're being underserved, period. I hear from the mayors, I hear from the council. I said, okay, so programs mean a lot to me. So I want to make sure that I'm able to kind of put the perception of the reality together. And if there is a gap, let's try to address it, either through Sarmiento's office or directly to you. So programs mean an awful lot. Employment programs are huge, which I want to, you know, so I got to be kind of honest. Programs mean a lot from where I'm coming from. Plus, I have an MPA, so I'm naturally programmatic in many respects. But I understand the larger strategic, more visionary things that are going on there, which makes it kind of enlightened as well.
Right. Yeah, I encourage you all to participate in the older needs assessment. Advanced OC is going to be really, you know, they're going to be quite busy here as they proceed with their caregiver campaign in terms of those assessments, the community forums, and any opportunity, because you are open to participate and provide that feedback and give that what you see from your perspective as constituents, as residents, as service providers, as caregivers. You kind of fall in a lot, many of
right.
in multiple categories. So where you have the opportunity, please, I encourage you to participate. And as you see, be more than happy, because we want a big engagement. We want to be successful so that we can have a nice, sizable sample, right, of our county. So.
Well, I want the people to be heard.
Yeah.
More than anything, they need to be heard. But they got to be right. They got to step up and make their voice heard. They just can't grouch about it.
Anyone have any questions so far?
Yeah, I do. I did look at the overview. It's a very quick question, and maybe you can clarify it. So the overview that I got last Friday from Pauline about the OAA overview, that was really helpful. But where I had a gap. was that I saw the program, I saw Sarah there, but I saw no alignment to a person who's running it in OAA. So I don't know how that works, or I couldn't identify the individual or the area it fell under. I mean, everything else seemed to kind of align pretty well. Oh, this person does this. I see a lot of good programs in there. Fall prevention is excellent. I've been a victim of falls a couple of times. So I'm really glad to see that in there. In fact, I broke my hand a couple of years ago. So it's very, very important. But I didn't see anything about who's running SARE or how that's worked. So maybe you can just briefly tell us who that person is or where that box is.
That's the vendor. Sir, John.
I understand that, but somebody has to be overseeing it in the county. I didn't see the OAA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very familiar with Circus. Santa Ana has contracts with SARE as well. And so they've been out to my community. They've done presentations. People are actually getting jobs from SARE right now. They've been very, very helpful in getting people employed where I live. But I didn't see anyone in OAA who's overseeing that. Where does that fall under?
And we do. We do have staff that oversee all our contracts.
But who?
So
I know, but who?
In this case, what we'll do is get together.
We have seven program managers.
Yeah.
You have a program manager. We have seven program managers that have.
Right. And
I responsibilities.
I should see it.
So based on some of your question, and I would anticipate that others that are also new to the advisory council that might have similar questions.
Right.
We'll look at how to disseminate that information for the group so that whenever anyone's looking for information and resources, we know.
Well, can you give me an answer now rather than wait, rather than later?
I can. I know you're not familiar with her, but our manager that oversees that contract for employment is Lillian.
Yeah, I never heard of her.
Yeah.
But we should be going through Pauline.
So that is something that will come.
I try to go through Pauline, but it takes time sometimes, and I have a time schedule, and you know she has her time schedule, so I'm just trying to get information out, and I'm working in real time. So that's been my challenge. I'm being honest about it.
Yeah. Okay. Any requests, send us, because if you're asking for it, we want to make sure that we share that with the rest of the team as the council.
But I don't want to, I don't think I should wait to have a queue. That doesn't seem fair to me because I have an immediate question. I'm willing to wait, but it's just a question.
There's
I'll get back to you, Victor. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Well, it hasn't been happening too well. Okay.
Next, are there any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
You guys
are
doing a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's speak to another because I was probably in the AAA and you're doing a far excellent job compared to other states, other AAAs. So
I definitely have a state of lots of advocacy that has been coordinated and continuing. It still feels like there's a lot of work to do still.
And CDA is the easiest agency that I work with at the state level compared to all the other administrative departments.
Yeah.
And so we're blessed with that too.
Yes.
Item 7, chair items. There's nothing referenced there for old or new business. I think what we're really doing is waiting to see what the new bylaws are going to present in terms of titles for committees and probably new mission statements as well. So just bear with us as we work through this.
Let me give you an update on the Housing and Transportation Committee at that meeting we had last week. There were several bills pertaining to housing and transportation that the chair asked for a brief update. I think it was 12 of them. They've all been chaptered into law effective January 1st of this year. And some information will be coming to the entire group in terms of what are their effects on the Office on Aging in terms of operational aspects, if they affect us, specifically Office on Aging, because there's other agencies that deal with maybe housing and transportation and stuff like that. But just to give you an update that we're looking into that. Yeah.
Thank you. Elizabeth, we have on the agenda, Elder Abuse Subcommittee.
Is
still viable or?
No. Okay. In the main meeting, we talked about there is no need for it. There is no committee. There is something here.
We've scratched it.
Yes.
Okay. Legislative tracking. So, I believe you all may have received the advocate. Looks like this.
No, I don't think I got it.
Okay.
No.
I think I'll send it to Pauline.
Okay.
It basically identifies legislation, and those are proposals at this point, not bills, but Pauline was referencing were bills that were chaptered, signed by the governor and chaptered. These are proposals working their way through the legislature that impact seniors.
You have sent us that, and we have, it has been.
I thought so.
A while back.
Late part of May or June, something like that.
Yes.
Is it updated, John? Is it updated as an updated version?
Yeah.
Okay.
So June 1.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So this is
because we went to
what Pauline got is the latest version.
Okay.
This reflects the CSL bills that were originally 10, 8 got picked up, then 1 was not picked up, so we were down to 7, et cetera. And at this point, 2 remain. The rest were caught up in the infamous appropriation suspense file.
That's what happened to us.
So basically an inventory control mechanism since the legislature can't deal with all proposals. So the two that are still active is SB 657, homeless staff services training. Senator Caballero, this bill would require the council to coordinate with the California Continuums of Care and Area Agencies on Aging to partner their shared regions to provide gerontology training for homeless service staff. The other bill or proposal is AB 559. That's the personal income tax donation funding mechanism for CSL. That has gone to the governor's desk. So there was an article in the newspaper today. The governor starting to sign while the legislature goes on vacation. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. The rest are broken out by the MPA goal, which helps you in terms of tracking. It's a son of a gun if you're trying to find a bill, because there's 5 categories, so you got to keep jumping around. But anyway, this summarizes the 35-plus bills that are currently in the legislature and what their status is. So not every one of these is still alive. And CSL's bills are in this larger group, so we know they're not all alive. So it's just a tool that I think helps to track legislation, a technique that was used by the legislature to save some bills was to create 2-year bills. So if you couldn't get the support, tell you what, I'm going to make that a 2-year bill and maybe I'll be able to get your support next year. Or maybe the funding will change dramatically next year. A technique used there as well. The legislature is going on vacation, so they'll return at the latter part of August, and then there'll be a frenzy as we approach the September deadline for the governor to sign bills. Our process has already begun for the next year. We have close to 20 proposals that we are going to be vetting during the October time period. And from that group, we will identify what we call our top 10 legislative priorities. That's what we will attempt to get picked up by legislators prior to the February deadline, which is, I believe it's the second Friday, in which we have for legislators to author a bill. So that's where we're at right now. Our session will be in October. And CSL members will listen to the wording. We're going to meet in person. Okay. So, unless there's some unforeseen circumstance, the planning is that we will have a meeting in person we hope, in the Capitol chambers. It would be in the assembly because you can't get everybody in the Senate chamber. But
you're going to do that in October?
October, yes. The in-person meeting is scheduled for the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So, yes, I'm having to call a meeting over Halloween, but I apologize. I know that's a biggie for some people, but that's the only dates the Hyatt would give us. Tony.
Yeah, I've already had four calls on my proposals from State Council for verification.
Great. Pledge Council is already making telephone calls. Dave, I alerted them that if they're having trouble reaching out to you, call me and I'll put you two in touch.
Okay.
So our proposals are now in Ledge Council being perfected and put in bill language. Those are done by interns. So during the summer, they bring in law students into their organization, and those individuals gain experience working with legislation by drafting it, and then it's reviewed or overseen by a supervisor. Any questions? Elaine?
When the legislation is proposed, anywhere in the language does it identify which goal for the master plan on aging?
No, that's in the fact sheet.
Yeah, but I mean, can that be like up front and suggested to the legislature so we can track these more easily?
Sure, I'll see what they say.
Yeah.
Check through Ledge Council. It's a good suggestion.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, because we're all supposed to be on track for
right.
the master plan on aging. So let's put that up front so it's identified which of the five goals that would address. And then just a question on one of the topics that we had talked about last year. We had a presentation from a gentleman from, it was on the grandparents' rights for adoption.
Oh, one of our, yes.
So,
Mark Cox on grandparents.
So do you
adoption.
Know, yes. Mm. Do you know what has happened with that?
It did get, it got caught in suspense, even though I failed to identify any actual funding issue there. But so we've resubmitted it.
Okay. Lots of things are in suspense, even though they have no price tag. It's amazing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they just don't want to address it. but because that was, I think that's very important, especially when we look at the dynamics of families today and how that's changed over the years, and it has needs to be addressed. Yep.
And we have submitted, Dave has submitted a proposal on the issue of confidential marriages as well. So we're anxious to see how that goes.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Is there any bottleneck in any particular priority you see, like something that requires, you know, more external assistance for us from us, relationships or whatever?
Well, Victor, the process is that, you know, when it gets into committee, we usually do what we call calls to action on our proposals, and we send the word out to say, this is an opportunity for you to go through that particular committee, and if you support this bill, make your voice heard.
Got it.
And it's very simple, and that now they've automated it to where you can go into a portal, and you can basically, it's an email now, you don't have to type up a letter,
right.
And it just follows the legislation from that point on.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So help me out here. So where are we basically, is that period kind of ended or evaporated?
For the most part, yes.
Okay.
Yes. We're moving. There were still some committee meetings occurring, but most of the activity is now on the floor, and there is no activity because they've gone on vacation for the time being.
Yeah. It's just like I said, I've had our legislators, state, both assembly and state, visit us and talk about their commitment to the senior city community. So I'm just trying to see if there's something I could do, or I don't know where these people fall in terms of these particular priorities, or if they're on the committee or whatever. So I'm just trying to see if you offhand, if there's a particular person or issue that might be constraining, perhaps.
So we publish and distribute, Victor, a document in late February, early March,
that identifies each of our proposals that were picked up and the link, and you can go on the Ledge info and you can track that bill.
Got it.
You can find it in wherever it's at and what committee and this kind of
thing. I got it. Is that done yearly, by the way, annually? This process done annually?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just behind the cycle. That's okay.
Once we get the document out, you've got the link and you can pretty much.
You also have legislation that you support that's not yours.
Right. So it's this document. Also, feeds off of a report generated by Justice and Aging that does the same thing. It has the link on the 35 plus, sometimes it's 50 bills that are out there. Okay, so it's a good tool.
Yeah, and also, a lot of good self-service.
The Ledge info link, it updates it regularly. So you, it's not static. So you can see who is supporting, who's for or against it. You can also see the analysis and follow it.
Yeah.
But also keep in mind for members for SCAP that when we take a position, it's as an individual.
Right.
We are not saying that we are representing SCAP, and that's very important.
So even if we go through the right process of the county.
Well, if we go through the right process, then we have to go through the county, and county council has to approve.
But that's very, very clear in the bylaws.
Yeah. I got it.
You can take individual positions. But you cannot say on behalf of your citizens.
Right. I understand.
That's because we talk about legislation, but our newer members may not be aware of that.
Correct.
We cannot be a representative of SCAP when we are taking a position.
But I don't think we do that for anything, though. That's helpful, though. I look forward to that next year, and I'll do what I can this year.
Super. Item 10, new membership. I'm not aware of any new member applications at this time?
No, we do have a change, though. I just found out this morning Nathan Steele is going to come off this committee because Marianne, you're on it. So he's going to move off and go to housing and transportation.
That's good.
Yeah.
Representing the community.
Hey.
That was smart.
Item 11, announcements. Does anyone have an announcement that they want to share with us? I have a question. The bylaws. Is there going to be a new bylaw for this committee? What is the...
No, the bylaws addresses the SCAC Council in general as a whole.
Okay.
And that encompasses all the subcommittees.
Okay. And what's the status of that?
The status of it right now is it went to County Council.
Mm-hmm.
It came back to us. And they had some questions. We had some counter questions, not other. So it's kind of going back
and forth. It's ping pong
now. Ping pong. Yes.
We want to make sure that by the time it gets to you, that we've clarified our questions to County Council.
Right.
So that we can avoid this a lot.
Do you have
the new start.
An anticipated date when these will be issued?
I'm afraid to give an anticipated date.
By 2025.
Okay. Sometime within.
Remember, this is like a third set in what, 3 years?
I just thought we just did this.
Yeah.
And we did it before that.
Yes.
This is the third time. This is the time.
Boy, this is really key.
So fine tuning. Yeah. So we're hoping, you know, by as soon as possible. To bring it to the full committee as soon as possible for its review.
When I was chair, we submitted one change attendance. And it was over 2 years before.
Oh, my goodness.
See, I'm getting all these changes to the bylaws, this being the third one, and I'll say that again and again, has been at the request of the county or county council, not us initiating the changes. They've been initiating it. So
I have an announcement here, if I may.
Yes.
So one of the projects that I worked on for 6 years is now called Healthier at Home. It was funded with $12.5 million to CDA, and it involves 8 counties having an RN and a community health worker assigned to affordable housing properties to help people with their social drivers of health and aging in place. So the webinar, like I mentioned, I'll send it to Pauline, is coming up this week, and I'm really excited that we're one of the counties that's involved. So nonprofits here in Orange County will be able to apply to administer that program that's going to run for 2 years, and then it will be evaluated by Manhattan. Hopefully we can turn it into something that has sustainability, because like Connie was saying, you don't want stops and starts and all these programs that are grant funded. It is something to be proud of.
Yeah.
It took 6 years, can you believe it? And I'm speaking about it at UCLA on Friday morning. So
we're at
the Anderson School of Business.
Oh yeah, I'm very close. I'm actually working with the chancellor on a few other things. So
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell everyone hi for you.
But Gene, yeah, Gene and I are getting to become close friends. not quite that close, sure, but you know, as I'm getting here.
Do we have any other notes?
Just remember to be pushing out the fentanyl awareness flyer. Okay. And talk, actually don't just push it out, talk about it, because it is something when I talk to people, they're like, oh, I didn't think of that. I was just thinking of younger people being, also we need to protect those.
Is it possible to have that posted on the LinkedIn and then we can share it that way?
You don't have to. Did it come to me? We have Facebook, it's our social media. I'm not even sure, Twitter, we use Facebook primarily.
No, not LinkedIn for office on aging. However, the flyer was shared with Board of Supervisors as well, and we did ask them to help us spread awareness.
And they got it.
Yeah, they put it on their social media. So I haven't seen any on actual their Twitter accounts, but they have shared it, yes.
Yeah.
I've shared it on their social media, Facebooks, and their newsletter emails that goes out even on their own Board of Supervisors websites.
Yeah.
I've seen
there's no limit to where you can share.
Yes.
To our city,
yes.
To our interfaith council and service organizations.
Absolutely.
Well, in a way there is, because there's people where I live that don't have English as a first language. And it's not translated to Canada Vietnamese people who have a strong preference. So I talked to the Office of Prince Sarmiento about this. Oddly enough, may I go into an announcement? Are you done? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, just be just a minute. Anyway, so I sent that flyer to him. We talked about, you know, the outreach aspect of it. And he had there was some commercial or some type of documentary on the issue. And his office is going to take a much broader approach, not just with, you know, the elder adults, but he's going to look at it as a public health issue. And bring it more. Yeah, it is. And you're right. So he's taking a much broader approach and bringing in the appropriate people. I don't know what the cognizant agency will actually be to help them out, whether it be SSA or Cal Optima or whatever. But he's taking it from a larger public health issue, which older Americans, particularly immigrant older Americans, you know, will be focused on to make sure we bring panels in and get the information out. So that's what I'm talking about Tuesday, among other issues. You know, so they are definitely going to be taking this to a bigger scale, thanks in part to what happened here, but also to kind of a public information that's been disseminated, and they need to do something, particularly in the areas in Santa Ana where this thing's kind of prevalent. People are going to border every day to do whatever, not perhaps unknowingly and taking back and perhaps just drugs. So that's where he's at with things, and hopefully we'll see some action on that in your term. But thank you. That's it. That's my update.
Are there any other announcements? Seeing none, before I gavel this meeting to a close, I'm going to run. I have an 11 o'clock Zoom meeting, so I will not be lingering. Don't get in front of the doorway. I'll run over you at this point. So, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for keeping me right here.
And I apologize for being late. They were slurrying our streets. So I didn't realize it would take so long to drag my briefcase, which has two
pillows
in it, uphill. You've been uphill and then over.
No, that counts as 80,000 steps.
It does. Oh, yay. I'm done for the week.
Yeah, it's not watching us.
We have that tomorrow. No, we have that on Wednesday.
Okay, yeah, turn off your sprinklers and maybe.
Oh, really? Okay.
Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you. Nice job, John. Nice job.